You're listening to Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. In the late 18th century in the newly independent United States, medicine was filled with danger and uncertainty. Doctors knew little of how disease spread and still administered deadly treatments like bloodletting. But Dr. David Hossack, an American botanist and physician, saw the potential for undiscovered medicines in the new world's vast natural plant life. He also pioneered new surgical techniques and medical devices such as the stethoscope. In American Eden, David Hossack, Botany and Medicine in the Garden of the Early Republic, Victoria Johnson, an associate professor of urban policy and planning at Hunter College, reveals how Hossack changed the way Americans saw the natural world, including their own bodies. It's published by Liverite, and I'm happy that it's brought Victoria Johnson to the show. Welcome to Midday.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So how long did it take? This is your second book.
Yes.
You said that with exasperation. And how long did it take you to write this?
Well, it took me longer than my first book. And the reason is that David Hossack was a polymath. He was gifted in many, many, many areas. And he was involved with dozens of organizations. And at the same time, he was not famous enough to have a critical edition of his papers published, like Hamilton. So I went to 35 archives in the United States and Europe on his trail, looking for every scrap of paper, every plant specimen that survived, everything I could find that would allow me to tell his incredible story.
What was it about him that fascinated you? I'd never heard of the guy before.
Well, you're not alone, although many people will know him as the doctor of whom Burr says in the Hamilton musical, you have him turn around so he can have deniability.
Uh-huh.
So, but in his lifetime, he was one of the most famous Americans of his generation, both in the United States and Europe. And I can tell you a little more in a little while about why that is. What drew me to him was, I love New York. And years ago, 8 years now, I read a description of Rockefeller Center. It had been the nation's first botanical garden. And I was enchanted at the idea that one of the most iconic urban spaces in the world had been our young nation's first botanical garden.
And so just from that little thing led you to him.
I fell in love with the man. I fell in love with his story. And the longer I worked on this book, the more I learned about him, the more I realized that his forgotten story really deserved to be told.
Now, in the early 20th century, a medical journal paid tribute to Hossack, noting that, quote, there is perhaps no one person in the 19th century to whom New York medicine is more deeply or widely indebted than to this learned, faithful, generous, liberal man. Are all those descriptions correct in your view? And what did he do for New York medicine?
Okay, yeah, he absolutely deserves that praise. He came of age during the early years of the Republic. He was born in 1769 in New York, grew up under the British occupation. All around him, he saw his fellow citizens dying of diseases no one understood. And he fell in love with medicine while he was a student at Columbia College. And he pursued medicine, but he trained in Philadelphia under the eminent physician Benjamin Rush. Then he went to Edinburgh and London, and it was there, where the most advanced medical training in the world was available, that he discovered botany. And in the 18th century, almost all the plants known to doctors came from plants. And so the fact that we didn't have a medical garden in the United States kind of shocked him when he came home, and he decided he needed to found that. And through founding that garden, he ended up training several generations of American doctors and conducting some of the first pharmaceutical research in the United States.
So what was medicine like in the United States in the 18th century? Especially, he goes to Britain and discovers, like, they have all these plants, and the United States doesn't. Was the U.S. considered a backwater compared to Europe?
Yes, it was such a backwater that most physicians who were training in the New York and Philadelphia medical schools would go get extra training from Edinburgh and in London. And one reason that Europe was advanced was that corpse dissection was frowned upon still in the U.S., and it was there was even a riot in 1788 that Husick was injured in. He was trying to protect the anatomical specimens that were stored at Columbia. And he was able in London and Edinburgh to learn the latest surgical techniques, some of which he brought back to the United States, as you alluded to. And he discovered the importance of botany, of botanical gardens as classrooms, as encyclopedias, as training grounds, and research labs. And he brought all of that back to the United States and became the most famous doctor of his generation and the most beloved medical professor.
So let's go back to these riots. Why, where Dr. Husack was trying to protect the specimens. Why did people riot? Why was that seen then as being so controversial?
The sacredness of the buried body was certainly in London, they were a little ahead in terms of realizing that the anatomical research that you could do on corpses far outpaced what you could do on human corpses, I should say, far outpaced what you could do if you studied animals. You cannot understand the human body very well by studying animals. So, yet the burial grounds were being pillaged for bodies. Initially, the African burial ground, which was very close to the New York Hospital, was a favored site for pillaging bodies. And in fact, when the bodies, the skeletons were reburied after the African National Burial Ground was consecrated and is now run by the National Park System, one of the skeletons was found with the sawed off top of his skull in his arms. So the medical students were responsible for supplying their professors with bodies, and they would go to the graveyards at night, and they would start with the sort of devalued bodies of New Yorkers. When there were more medical students and more need for dissection specimens, they started going to Trinity Churchyard. And on this at this event in April 1788, apparently, one Columbia student waved an arm out the window at a young boy and said, "This is your mother's arm." And that boy went home, so the story goes, and came back with a mob of really angry citizens. And that triggered this riot, and three people at least died in the riots.
Now I understand why they rioted, and that is an excellent history of all of that. My mind is blown, Victoria. I can't. let's fast forward and talk about some of the things that made Dr. Husack such a revered person. He came up with ways to treat things like smallpox. He came up with treatments using toxic remedies like mercury and bloodletting, which today is we don't do that, but that was important back then, wasn't it? Wasn't it not?
Yes. So one of the innovative things about David Husack is that where his colleagues were really using bloodletting and mercury, he really shied away from that. He didn't eschew it completely, but he really preferred, especially after his botanical training in England, he preferred gentler botanical remedies that would break a fever, purge the bowels in case of obstruction, those kinds of things. And so an example of his incredible innovation is that he was called in 1797 to the bedside of a dying 15-year-old boy, and other doctors had tried to save him. They used cold cloths pressed to the skin and other remedies, and the boy was dying, and Husack, who was a young doctor, was called in. He was 28, and he was called in because he had the cutting-edge treatments, and he took a risky measure, which was using heat. So he put the boy in a steaming bath. He used Peruvian bark, cinchona bark, which is now known to be a cure for malaria. And he saved this boy's life. And he did it by being risky.
Mm-hmm. And he was being risky with whose son?
Well, this was Alexander Hamilton's son.
Philip.
Philip. And this doesn't make it into the musical, but in 1797, so 4 years before Philip Hamilton died in, I don't think that's a plot spoiler, died in a duel, Huzzack had saved his life. And when Hamilton was away on a business trip at the time, and when he came home, Huzzack was in another room in the Hamilton house, asleep. And Huzzack woke up to find Alexander Hamilton, the hero of the American Revolution and George Washington's right-hand man, kneeling at his bedside in tears. And Hamilton said, "I could not stay one more moment in my own house without thanking you for saving the life of my son." And Huzzack worked that moment into his lectures at Columbia, which wasn't just vanity. It was the most incredible way to inspire a room full of teenage boys who wanted to go into the heroic field of medicine.
To have such a great man say something to you like that would work for me if I wanted to be in medicine. Yeah. What? Yeah. Alexander Hamilton came and thanked you at his bedside?
Yeah, and
that's
not only
intense.
That, but actually kneeling at his bedside.
Yes, I left that part out. Yes, kneeling at his bedside.
And it was shortly after that, a matter of weeks after that, that Huzzack moved forward and founded this botanical garden, because he was so convinced now that botanical remedies were going to move American medicine forward.
Now, was that botanical garden, as you said at the beginning of this interview, which is, you know, 30 Rock is now on top of it. How big was this botanical garden, and was it a botanical garden in the way we think of them today?
Yeah. So today we often think of botanical gardens as a beautiful place to spend a day or a great place to get married.
Have a picnic.
But they do much more. Even today, they are incredibly active in research and education. Millions of people learn about plants and the world's ecosystems from botanical gardens today. There's another element in the 18th century, which is the medical element. And Huzzack was so persuaded that the U.S. desperately needed a botanical garden that when he couldn't raise money from Columbia, he went ahead and bought 20 acres of land 3.5 miles north of New York City with his own money. And today, that 20 acres of land, a portion of it is Rockefeller Center.
Wait, you lost me, because I'm thinking in terms of modern day upstate. You're talking about upstate from way back then.
Yeah.
So upstate.
So,
if you're talking about upstate being what we now know as Rockefeller Center, where are people living?
People are living basically below Chambers Street. So that was where New York City was. And Huzzack would get in a carriage or ride his horse 3.5 miles up the island to this piece of property he bought. It was rural Manhattan. It was in an area covered with mountain laurel and beautiful hills. He ended up collecting and growing about 2,500 species. He had medicinal plants, of course. He had agricultural plants. He had edible and ornamental plants from all over the world. And the most amazing thing to me is that he built a 200-foot conservatory, one of the biggest in the United States and North America at the time. And it is now, the footprint of that conservatory is now under Radio City Music Hall.
Wow. The other thing you've alluded to is that not only did Dr. Huzzack save the life of Alexander Hamilton's son, he was the person who tended to Alexander Hamilton after that famous duel.
Yes. So when Hamilton and Burr were choosing a physician, it was in 1804, it was logical for them to settle on David Huzzack. He was the family physician to both the Hamilton and Burr families at the time.
So that's one thing they could agree on.
Exactly.
The only.
Yes. And Hamilton, Husick was at Hamilton's bedside when he died the next day of the bullet that lodged in his spine. And Husick was also asked by Hamilton's friends to conduct the autopsy on his own friend Hamilton, which was must have been incredibly painful.
After people finish reading the book, what do you hope they take away from it? Do you hope they come away with as much admiration for this man as you have?
I do. I think he's been unjustly neglected. I think because of his role at the duel, that's if anybody knows about him, it's because of that. But when he died, he was so famous that bulletins ran from New Hampshire to South Carolina. He was one of the most famous Americans in the United States, as I say, and he had the admiration of Americans such as Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison, and of Europeans, including the Marquis de Lafayette, Sir Joseph Banks, and Alexander von Humboldt. He was revered and well known, and I think his story is a wonderful American story of the first post-revolutionary generation trying to build the institutions, the civic institutions, the arts and sciences organizations that made New York what we think of as New York. Husick was the chief architect in New York becoming New York City, and I'd like people to know that part of his life as well as the medical and botanical achievements.
Victoria Johnson is the author of American Eden, David Husick, Botany and Medicine in the Garden of the Early Republic. Tonight at 7, Victoria Johnson will be interviewed by historian Maya Jasanoff at the New York Public Library's Coleman Center for Scholars and Writers. That's at 476 Fifth Avenue at 42nd Street. Then on June 22nd at 4 p.m., Victoria will give a book talk at the New York Botanical Garden at the Moscheleau entrance. That's at 2950 Southern Boulevard in the Bronx. For more information on both events, go to our show page at wnyc.org/midday. Victoria, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.